Something kind of stinks. It's the news, according to me. Finally, good morning. Good morning, folks. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard the news train. It's Monday, October 31st. Not quite November yet. November's a good month to be born, by the way. That's a good month to be born. Most of the greatest people in the world were born in November. I don't know. That's probably not true. I don't know. It's just my own study that I've done. This morning, I have developed an accent. Yes, I have. I'm at the home studio this morning. I'm not at the world headquarters. However, I may do another show for tomorrow, later today, that will be posted tomorrow. Because tomorrow's going to be one of those really early morning departures once again. I've been home for a whole 2 days here. This is my second day, and I get to leave tomorrow. And then I get to come home Saturday and leave Sunday. I don't even know why I come home anymore. I'm never here. Just I come home and fix stuff, and then I leave. And I only get half the stuff fixed that I'm supposed to. The biggest thing I fix is what's in my cup. This morning I have the regular. I got the chai, the vanilla chai with Cinnabon creamer. And then I have a backup cup this morning because just in case this is going to be quite the show. There's a lot to do. I didn't have a show on. I don't think I had a show on Thursday. Did I? I don't think I did. And then Friday, of course, I didn't have a show. Pretty sure I didn't have a show on Friday. One of those two I didn't have a show on. I don't remember which was. Surprisingly, I had pretty high listenership on the 28th, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But just the same, it's one of those things going on. So I had to, I had a busy weekend. I had finishing things, some things up and that kind of thing. Now, the rest of this week, besides tomorrow, I should be able to have a show. Even if I have a late show tomorrow, I'll have a show. I'll be working evenings. So my mornings, there probably will be a show. However, the show will probably not be 6 in the morning. It might be. Who knows? I might just do that. I might get up at 6 in the morning and do a show because that's... But I finish up things like kind of late in the evenings all week this week. And of course, the next week will be a really screwy too. So that's the rundown for my schedule. For those of you who didn't care. This is the show, The News According to Me, where I tell you that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist. Not a brain surgeon. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a life coach. Nor am I an Alaskan fisherman yet. But there's many things I'm not. I'm just a guy with a microphone. It's a lot of opinions in my head that spill out into the vocal orifice on my head, and then I share them with you. That's what happens. It vibrates the air, hits the microphone, little sensor on the microphone there. It vibrates that thing, and then it transforms that into electronics, little electrons. And those things then zip around out in the air out there, in the internet, in the ethosphere. And actually, it does go through the air, I guess. It actually really does go through the air because I have no I have no wires connected to my home anymore, other than my electric wires. No. We don't have a phone line here or a cable. And so it goes out there in the air somewhere, and then it lands on a thing that you click on, and you decide to tap into it and get all this juicy information that's coming out of the juicy brain that I have. Icky stuff. October 31st, 2022, Monday, 8:08 a.m. right now, just for the record. Because it needs to be recorded. Now, having said all that, and taking a sip of my chai. There is a lot of news going on right now. A couple of big stories that are all over the news that are getting kind of course, maligned one way or the other. One that the leftist media is perpetrating because it's election cycle and they have to make up this story and create this rhetoric out there. And the other side of it is some of the lawsuits that are happening right now. They're interesting stuff that's going on. And of course, there's the biggest story is this whole attack on Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, if you want to call him that. And then you've got the issue. There's this Google stuff. And of course, Twitter. You got Elon Musk taking over Twitter. We'll get into some of the complexities of that and everything that's going on there, things to think about. It's not just the guy steps in and here he is in charge. This is a massive undertaking, and I'm not exactly sure how one would go about doing that, but we'll talk about that. It amazes me that the guy has any time at all to even tweet anything. I mean, the guy's running so many different things. Now, you know that by doing that, he's got to have a team of people. It's not just his job. I don't know if you can hear my dogs in the background. All of a sudden, apparently, my wife is going to let them out or something. I'm not sure what's going on there. The interesting thing is that, you know, that you don't just, one guy doesn't just run all this stuff. So we're going to talk about leadership a little bit today and how that all works. We'll get into that a little bit. In the meantime, let's talk about this lawsuit first of all. Google. this was a buried news story. Google has a tendency to do that, by the way. Interestingly enough, you don't hear anybody but talking about buying Google. Now there's all kinds of there's all kinds of issues with Google, and it's sadly they've intruded in your life and big ways. It's funny how you don't get a bill from Google, do you? Just the average guy, the average person out there doesn't get a Google bill. But Google is one of the most highly valued companies in the world with regard to what they're worth. How does that happen? How are they making money on you when you're not? Now, if you have a business and you use Google Ads or Google Clicks or you're using Google services, that's one thing. But the average person out there doesn't use Google like that. You're just doing a search. I'm going to Google it. How are they making money on that? It's free. If you think your personal information is worthless, I guess it is free. We have this lawsuit that just came up recently. You want to talk about affecting an election and a danger to democracy, you want to call it that, the democratic process. You know, and I'm hearing more and more, getting back to this word about democratic, and you might think I'm just being picky about this. Oh, it's just semantics. You don't like the word democratic. You don't like calling it the Democratic Party. You like calling it the Democrats because it has the word rat at the end of it. Yeah, maybe. That might be part of it. I don't know what my motivations are necessarily, but it is the Democrat Party, and they are Democrats. They're not Democrats. But every time I hear Tucker Carlson or anybody else on the news say the Democratic Party, a Democratic candidate, it makes my stomach kind of just a little bit of a turn there. It's got a little bit of a twist in my stomach. Because it makes it sound like they're the Democratic ones. And for some reason, that has a nice ring to it. Well, they're Democratic. What's the Democratic? Well, that's what we have, right? We have a democracy. No, we don't. But that's what we like to say all the time. That's what the leftists would like to push and promote. Because that's the way collectivist societies ease into taking over the majority rule. Well, that's what the majority of people want, so we have to do this because it's democratic. No, there are laws and rules and morals outside of ourselves that we need to live by. Not just determine what we want, how we want to live. There are certain morals, not talking about mushrooms, that we live by that are outside of ourselves, outside of what we want and our selfish desires. And those have got to be a pinning point for society. Because without that, we will just degrade into some kind of weird, phony morality, phony righteousness. That doesn't exist. Just made up on our own. In other words, every man does what is right in his own eyes. That's what it ends up being. Only it becomes a collective thing. And it's anti-moral. If you don't believe that, let's look at what's happening with society. Society is now determining that, oh, well, you're just born that way. So we have to accept it. Well, you were born a pedophile, so we have to accept that. We just need to lower the age of consent to accommodate these people. Well, I think what we probably should do is get the pedophiles together with the people who identify as three-year-olds, these grown men who identify as eight-year-old girls. Get them together. That's probably what we need to do. I don't know. That's pretty disgusting. I don't know. I'm just trying to make a bad joke. Yeah. I don't know. So we have this lawsuit. Let's get back to this lawsuit. Get back on track here. It's Monday and I'm all over the place. We have this lawsuit. I believe it was the Republican Party somewhere. It might have been a state Republican Party. It could have been a Senate race. I'm not sure exactly what it was. Where they were sending out via their Google Mail or whatever they were doing, Google services of some kind, they were paying for sending this stuff out, where to vote, how to register to vote, to all their constituents, all their voters, basically. They're sending this out to Republicans to explain to them where their polling places are, how to register to vote, all this kind of stuff that they were sending out. Perfectly good information. Nothing, no misinformation involved. It was all data that people needed to know to go vote for our democratic process. Oh, guess what? Google just accidentally didn't send those anywhere. They didn't go to anybody. Tens of thousands of emails just got canceled. Got lost in the ethos somewhere. You know, you had one job. You want to talk about nefarious, widespread voter fraud or voter tampering? That's it. Right there. It's happening digitally and virtually. You don't have to have someone sitting. Now, there's a day coming when voting is going to be done online. We were really close to it during the pandemic. Really close. The Democrats wanted it. They wanted people to be able to vote on a website. They were pushing for that. There were some Democrats pushing for that. They're already, of course, they know that they're going to lose huge numbers. So they're already promoting this idea that we have to have the UN or some other country come in and step in and observe our elections for us. Gee, what are they going to have Venezuela come in soon? So they want to come in here, Russia? We'll have Ukraine come in and observe our elections. That's what they're going to do. China, maybe. Be good. Seriously. If that ever happens, we're just done. We're done. That's it. We're done. But that's what they want now, all of a sudden. The last election, of course, was perfect. I think almost every night now on Tucker Carlson, I hear him say, this guy who got 81 million votes, very much tongue-in-cheek, and very obvious he doesn't believe it anymore. Speaking of believing things, here's a little side note. Ben Shapiro, who was calling people dopes for not getting the vaccine. Ben Shapiro is a... He runs the Daily Wire. He's a... he has several people in his network. They've started a rather large production company, sort of along the lines of what Glenn Beck did. But I would say Ben Shapiro is probably more successful with regard to the way he manages his outfit over there. And I would probably trust Ben Shapiro more and the people on Shapiro's network more than I would Glenn Beck. However, there are some strange issues with the Ben Shapiro Daily Wire network, and I won't get into those too much. One is Ben Shapiro himself. For the most part, he's pretty much correct on a lot of issues. Now, I used to listen to Andrew Klavan a lot, and he's a very talented, very well-read individual. However, he made some comments after the last election that I was done. I was done with the guy. Just like that in one day. I used to listen to him every day. And he said something that was just so totally in opposition to reality. I haven't listened to him since. I don't click on his stuff. I don't watch him. I don't listen to him. And I'm not the only one, apparently, because his popularity went downhill really fast. I think he lost a lot of listenership. Michael Knowles is also in their network. He's pretty decent. I like him. He's a little bit more bold. He's a little bit more out there. He's probably one of those people who is a little bit more on the, I would say, to the conservative side of the issues to some degree. And he's a little bit more outspoken with some things. And then you've got, who else is in that network? Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh his big thing has been the transgender agenda and the lunatic left in that regard. He's pretty much gone down that road. He's the guy who has the movie, started his documentary, What is a Woman? I think he might have even wrote a book on it, but there's this documentary. It's pretty good. And of course the leftist heads exploded, and he's pretty big about going to school boards meetings and talking about their how radically nut, you know, just nutcases that they are. He does a good job with it as well. He's extremely good at making coherent statements. Much like our president. You know, never mind. Yeah. Not so much. Not like him. Very, very good communicator when it comes to putting ideological information together. Whether you agree with him or not, he's very good at putting it together. Now, I don't think he's as good at it in the moment. It's not like a debate team debater would be, but he's very good at putting the concepts together and then, you know, writing them down, clarifying them, and making them very clear when he reads them to you, or when he's, you know, when he is speaking them out. All this to say that was a side note. Getting back to this lawsuit, now the Republicans, the Republican Party, or whoever it was, this one particular candidate, I think, was also filed a lawsuit against Google about this whole thing. How do you go back and redress that issue? Oh, we made a mistake. Sorry, we'll send them out for you. Well, this is after the Deadline to register to vote has already passed. Gee, that's wonderful, isn't it? Nice, that's real nice. Oh, we'll just put it back in place. There you go. We're gonna send them. Those just got lost. They got sidetracked by a code 3457 2BA, and then it had to be on the dip side of the fit widget. Oh yeah. Okay. So just a little mistake. Somebody. Funny how those mistakes only happen to Republicans, isn't it? Well, Twitter censors leftists too. They censor liberals once in a while. For every one liberal you can mention, if you can come up with a name of a liberal who's been silenced or canceled or censored, I can give you 20. For every one you give me that's on the left, I can give you 20 conservatives, independents, or people on the right that have been censored or canceled. They canceled the president of the United States. Now, let's get into this whole issue. We're going to talk about this Paul Pelosi thing, and it is a horrendous story that is the left is using right now. And it will go silent. They will go silent on this story when the truth comes out, if it ever does. Remember, Paul Pelosi was the guy who had the car accident, had someone else in the car with him, and we never got to talk to the guy who was in the car with him. Was it a guy? Was it a girl? We don't know. I'm not even sure who the passenger was. There was all the speculation that it was some lady that he was having an affair with. And then it turned out to be a man. The rest of it I'll leave up to you. Then there's a man in his underwear in the Pelosi house who happened to be in his bedroom. We'll get into that later. Very strange occurrences there at the Pelosi home, where apparently they have no security whatsoever. Yeah. But let's talk about this Elon Musk thing for a moment. And this is kind of an interesting subject because it gets into the issue of leadership, I think. And I think if one takes a step back and asks some questions, we think of just this guy's going to come in and he's going to take over Twitter and now everything's going to change. Let me tell you something. A person coming in at the top, they can change the culture. It is a top-down thing in a business. When it goes from a publicly owned company run by Marxist, collectivist, leftists with an ideology and an agenda to radically alter culture and to impose their cultural ideals on everyone, to shape the nation and the country and the world, really. When those people are all there at the top, and they have entire departments that are devoted to those kinds of things and people willing to do those kinds of things. The guy stepping into the top, all of that's not going to change everybody's mind. It's there. If you don't think there's going to be a lot of opposition to his leadership, there are programmers at TikTok that probably knew this was coming and have put in all kinds of backdoors and trapdoors and all kinds of things that they can sabotage Twitter. Think about this. Someone who knows that they're going to get fired anyway as they're walking out the door could easily sabotage the place or provide opportunity. Leave a backdoor entryway into their programming system somehow that they could then sell that information to someone else, like a Chinese operative or an Iranian or whoever it might be, to take Twitter down. Or to control it, or whatever they want to do. to mess with it. So Alon, he's not just stepping in here by himself. He's got to have a team. And you know he's not going to this guy's out launching rockets. He's got Tesla going on. He's got, you know, his rocket launching satellite network going on, Starlink, and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to just step, I'm just going to come go over here and be 24/7 running Twitter now. This guy's doing a lot. He's got his housing project now he's doing. I don't know what else he's into. All kinds of stuff going on. Trucking. Where is he getting the people run? It's not Alon doesn't show up at all the meetings. You know, the morning meetings for everything. I'm sure he has meetings with somebody, but I don't know. He's, you know. Think about this. This guy has got to have people around him and a leadership team that are top-notch, bar none, excellent at what they do. Now, and nobody talks about this part of it. How is this whole thing structured? What is a day in the life of Elon Musk like? Because there's this perception out there that he's just doing all this. He's over there pushing the button on the launch pad every time a satellite goes up. He's the guy that test drives all the cars before they come off the lot. He's the guy in charge of all the algorithms at Twitter. And he understands how to write code, apparently. Just one thing, you know, he's making batteries. He's doing this. He's the guy behind it all. He's the figurehead of everything that's going on. And I'm sure he has an understanding of every part of his businesses. But there is no way that this guy is running everything on a micromanagement level. There's no way none of this stuff. If he was micromanaging, there's no way this would happen. All this other stuff that he's doing. No way he would have ever stepped in to buy Twitter. No way. This guy has got to be able to know people and pick people in ways that I think go beyond the natural. This guy has got some special talents with regard to that. Now, some people say that Elon Musk is evil, that he's the Antichrist, or that he might be. I don't know that he is. I think that what he's creating could be used by anything. And Google may not be evil either, but it can certainly be used by people with evil motives. No doubt about that. The technology in itself is not necessarily evil. It's the way it's used. Because when someone wants to control you, all of a sudden, you know, you've given in to whatever technology that is. You've given that technology partly, some control over your life. The Internet of Things, when your refrigerator and your dishwasher, your heater, your dryer, your air conditioner, when all this stuff is connected to the Internet, well, now you've kind of given up some of your autonomy. Because all of a sudden, people out west are finding this out real quickly. In California, they have these smart boxes. The smart meter is hooked up to your air conditioner. Oh, you know what? We don't have enough power right now, so we're gonna limit how much your air conditioner can run. You got it set at 72? Oh, your house is going to be about 82 degrees now. Because there's just not enough power on the grid. Because, you know, global warming. Yeah, so the more we do that, the less control we have over our own sovereignty. And this can happen very rapidly. We can get to the point where all these conveniences can turn on us. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to say that the conveniences are bad in and of themselves. It's who's behind the control of those things. And that is where we find ourselves in this ideological battle. We talk about IA a lot. Or AI, I guess it's AI. Artificial intelligence. We talk a lot about that. That's the dyslexic version is IA. The artificial intelligence, where this the computer suddenly becomes, what is it, cogent or whatever, comes sentient, whatever. It's self-aware, and it starts to make decisions on its own and learns on its own. Well, this is a false and phony reality. This is not true. There is no such thing as AI. Someone at its base has to have programmed in a set of standards and morals and ideas that it bases its logic on. Nobody talks about this. AI, among many tech gurus, is considered to be the Holy Grail, and it is considered to be almost their God. At some point, AI will take over, and we will just run according to what the computer says to do. But our artificial intelligence master has calculated out to be the best route for humanity. That's where we're headed. That's the direction things are going among the tech giants, the tech gurus. They think this is great. In fact, putting a chip in your head to help you think better. So you can recall things off the internet. All your information will be loaded down into your brain from there. What a wonderful world it will be. Yikes, folks. Yeah. Like as if that can't be hacked. Oh no, we'll have it all safe. It'll be all be safe and be secure. Let's talk about, you know, I hear a lot of people, especially on the right now, the VPN thing. I really hear this being advertised. Apparently VPN companies, virtual something network. It's what is it called? Virtual whatever it is. Your IP address, your the address of your computer itself. It has a number. And when you go on and log on to a website, that IP address, you know, you'll see this little status message down below when you go onto a website. It says, we collect cookies. Is that okay? Well, if it's not, I guess, what if it's not? We want you to know we collect cookies. We have to let you know because it's a regulation. We have to let you know we collect cookies. Okay, so you're collecting my information. Okay, that's great. I need to find this out. I need to log on to this website, so I guess you're collecting my cookies, which means cookies mean you're collecting my IP address, you're collecting stuff about my, you know, my demographics, my computer, everything, you know, anything I've put into my ID here, you're going to get that information. Now, the VPN thing supposedly, oh, that makes you secure. It'll look like you're somebody else. It assigns you some other IP address, or makes it look like you're coming from Sweden, or comes from, okay. And nobody will know who you are. Well, yeah, the VPN knows who you are. Who's to say that the company running the VPN isn't some kind of operative company, or that they will sell that information off to NSA, FBI, CIA, DOD, or that any of those alphabet soup companies don't already have access. All they have to do is hack one place now. Instead of having to hack every single computer, now they just have to hack the VPN. Here's where I'm at. I question the security of a VPN. It might give you some false sense of security based on maybe other individuals, but the big story is the information that you're giving to quasi-bureaucratic government agencies, whether they be this country or other countries, whatever it might be. So when we talk about that kind of thing, when we talk about internet security, it's very difficult. And that's what I think that's the challenge I think that Elon has right now stepping into Twitter. I mean, he's got to have like 80% of the people there have got to be upset about the fact that he's taking over. Now, it's not a huge company. It's much larger than some other social media companies. A lot of social media companies are very small, actually, comparatively, with regard to the number of people they have working for them. But it's just, it's interesting that, you know, we talk about leadership and the ability to lead and accomplish things. This guy's had some major accomplishments. Everybody's, oh yeah, but he had the government funding. He got all this government money to do it. Well, yeah, he did. But getting government money doesn't necessarily make you successful. There had to have been a lot of pre-planning and the proper use of that those funds that he got that got him where he is today. He didn't just go out and spend money on stupid things. He had a plan and he implemented it. It's remarkable what he's been able to accomplish. Now, how he uses it, whether it's for good or evil, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that it's amazing how much he has accomplished. And when I say he, I'm not saying just him, because he has to have a team of people around him. First of all, he has to have leadership underneath him that trusts him enough, and it takes the vision up enough to allow him to continue to be the visionary and to run the show, so to speak, and then implement those things for him and for the company, for the benefit of all involved. I haven't heard much from people. I've heard a lot of people from Amazon complain about how they basically are taskmasters and they really abuse their employees. And people like working for them because they make good money or they make money. It's a job. However, I also know that they demand a lot from their employees. I have not heard that from the Tesla. I have heard very little from what it's like to work for Tesla. I don't. Maybe you know somebody who works for Tesla, or maybe you know somebody who works for an Elon Musk organization, entity. I've heard it said sometimes that this, one of the things I've heard said is that if you want to know what kind of leader you are, turn around and see who's following you. In some ways, that's kind of disingenuous. I think that all of us are leaders in our own right within certain circles in ways that we don't even realize sometimes. I have a couple of different things that I do at the job, the traditional, what you'd call a job that I go to, that I think would probably be considered leadership positions. I'm in charge of a lot of things. I have a lot of responsibility in both of the positions I operate in the company that I work for. And a lot of it directly involves the safety of human life. I'm fully aware of that when I'm working and operating. And it is at the core of what I have to remember why it is I'm doing what I'm doing and why we do things the way we do. Why we have to standardize practice in what we do. Because people's lives depend on it. We can't just cut corners on this. So I'm very much aware of that and the importance of that as I'm leading the crew around me, my constituents, my compadres, my cohorts. Yeah. And as I'm doing that, you know, you take on that responsibility, you have to realize those things. And it's not so much that I consider those people followers of mine, but I am in a position where I lead them and I kind of send them off on their own. I'm not necessarily a religious leader that people follow for 20 years. but I give them leadership, mentorship, guidance, and then pass them on their way, letting them know that I'm always there for them. If they have a question, they can always text me or call me a year from now if they need to, that door is open. And I always let them know that as they go off on their little, as their little fledglings are kicked from the nest and they flutter away. See you, little bird. Hope you make it. Don't eat that worm. That's not a good worm. So we have, it's interesting stuff. It's in the news right now. Of course, Elon Musk is being vilified now by the left. He's the electric car guy. He's the green guy that they're all talking about, how wonderful he is. And now, of course, and I guarantee you, there's going to be more FBI investigations. There's going to be some kind of scandal with this guy that the left is going to make up. All of a sudden, something's going to happen because he's, you know, because they consider him to be this bad guy who's destroying free speech, which is actually the opposite of what he's doing. That's typical of the left. White is black, black is white, up is down, right is left, whatever, you know, wrong is right, right is wrong. So the security system, it must be something, you know, with the TikTok thing. I just don't know how you step in there and be able to continue to make it seamless. He must have had that. I'm sure he had thought through all that. The guy's brilliant in that respect. He probably knew he couldn't just step in there and take over, and all of a sudden, all of his employees would just start acting properly. I'm sure he's replacing a lot of people. So, speaking of security. Security system at Nancy Pelosi's house apparently doesn't work at all. There's some weird stuff going on here, folks. This is weird. Weird stuff. Now, there are some pundits on the right. There are some far-right folks. And in fact, I wouldn't say even far-right. There are some local. In fact, speaking of Twitter, Elon actually tweeted out. Now, he retracted it. I don't know that he... It wasn't taken down, but he did retract it. He made this statement that there seems to be something strange going on here. And he posted a report from another company, from another news organization, that was looking into things a little closer, and actually they're from the San Francisco Bay Area. And was making some insinuations based on personal preferences of Paul Pelosi. It's known within the Pelosi circles, I guess, that this guy is a little bit... Well, can you imagine having Nancy as a wife? I just step back and think about that for a moment. What kind of home life would you have with that? It's just scary to me. I don't know. I digress. The biggest issue here is that, you know, Paul obviously has a drinking problem. He's had more incidences and things with and DUI stuff. He hasn't been involved in accidents with his car. He's gotten away with this stuff. But all of a sudden he has an accident with his car involving another person. That person got hurt. And then he had someone in the car with him. And I don't know who it was. Of course, now his trading prowess, his ability to pick trades on the stock market has been unbelievable. Unfortunately, you know, Nancy, she has legislation that she enacts regarding certain businesses, certain industries, and somehow he just happens to know about that stuff. She made a lot of money. They've increased their value by a lot. And I don't know what he does for a living other than just to be her husband. And he has a lot of spare time on his hands and apparently doesn't have to do anything else. because he's, you know, all he's doing is day trading. And he doesn't even do that. He has to pay somebody else to do that. They have staff at their home. Okay, so you have to think about this. This isn't, they don't just have some house tucked away in some little yuppieville in San Francisco. And this is the speaker of the house, the third in line to the president. I've heard some people say she's second in line to the president. After the president, she's second. It's the VP, then her. So she's third in line to the presidency. So there's the president, the VP, and the speaker of the house. If for some reason the president's plane crashed into Kamala's house, and both of them were done away with somehow in some tragic event, Nancy Pelosi would be the acting president. My understanding is that Congress steps in then and replaces the president. However, normally under those circumstances, the Speaker of the House probably would become president. Nancy would be sworn in as acting president. In other words, she would have control of the little red box, the football, as it were, the button, the big button. She would have control of that. Isn't that a comforting thought? This is why I think on January 9th, I think that's why she called Mike Pence. Oh, I'm really concerned about you, Mike. Have they killed you yet? Oh, shoot. I mean, good. I'm glad. I'm just going to chew on a Slim Jim here for a second. I'll pull my mask down and chew on this Slim Jim because I'm trying to survive. We're down here in the bunker trying to survive on Slim Jims and beef jerky. Really weird stuff. Bizarre, strange, weird stuff. So Paul Pelosi, this whole thing really reeks right now. And of course, they're using it to get as much mileage as they can. And of course, once the real truth comes out, the story will go silent all of a sudden and you won't hear any more about it and they'll stop talking about it. Supposedly this guy is in the house saying, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" According to the police, what we're being told by the news media and what the police reports have said so far, nobody's actually seen a police report other than the police statement where they wouldn't answer any questions. How many times have you seen a low profile, high profile, whatever it is, any kind of profile case? How many times does this happen where the police come out and they don't have a question and answer period? Think about the Uvalde school shooting. They made a statement, sat there and answered questions. The O.J. Simpson trial, the O.J. Simpson event, where Nicole was and the other fellow. I feel so bad I can't remember either of their names, actually. Or both of them were murdered by O.J. Simpson. And they had a press conference and they answered questions. When there's a child abduction or a child missing case that turns out to be a parental murder of their children, the police answer questions. They did not do that in this case. They just walked off before asking questions. When you read the report, the 911 calls, did anybody even call 911? They called the 911 thing for a wellness call. It was a wellness call. Who made the call, first of all? Now, does Paul Pelosi have a life alert bracelet? Did he push on a button? Is that what this was about? Too many details have not been filled in this. This thing's got more holes than Swiss cheese. I mean, it's like that we've got the holes and not the Swiss. There's no cheese, just the holes. Someone opened the door for them at the Pelosi residence. Someone else was in the house. A third person. This is according to police. It's not known who had the hammer or where the hammer came from initially. And the attack, the violent attack, didn't happen until after the police arrived. The police witnessed the attack. Now, this fellow, they're claiming he's a right-wing, alt-right guy. Of course, he was in his underwear, by the way. Where were his clothes? Obviously, he's a very sane individual, first of all. He's nutcase, regardless of what he was doing with Paul. Something very strange going on in his head. Claims to have been wearing underwear. Now, he supposedly lives in an, I guess it's either an all-male or just some kind of a nudist colony in San Francisco. Now, I don't know of anybody who actually, in San Francisco, in northern states, it gets cold in San Francisco, folks. I don't know too many people who live in nudist colonies in the northern states. They might attend them. They might go for a weekend in the summer. In fact, I think there's one in our area here someplace over in Indiana, close to the Illinois line somewhere. I've been told. I don't know. I've never been there. And apparently, it shuts down in the wintertime, surprisingly enough, because, you know, you have to wear clothes because that's normal. Whatever you want to say. I don't know. Who's to say what's normal? I don't know. But anyway, I'm waiting in here. So the interesting thing about this is this guy was known. His name was David. They knew his name was David. Even on the phone, they said his name was David. So, and part of the report says that he was a friend of Paul Pelosi's. This guy was known in the neighborhood, apparently. And they're claiming he's some kind of right-wing nut, that this is the kind of rhetoric. We told you this was going to happen because this is it's all tied back to January 6th, because supposedly this guy was yelling, "Where's Nancy?" And he had zip ties on him. So he was walking around in his underwear with zip ties and a hammer. And we're supposed to believe this guy's normal. Meanwhile, some guy with a gun shows up at a baseball game. Practice, happens to be all Republicans, starts randomly shooting all the people there. Capitol Police stopped the assailant, killed him. Steve Scalise was almost killed, almost died that day. And the Democrats don't say anything about it. You don't hear them coming out and saying, "Oh, we've got to tone back the rhetoric. Oh, we need to check ourselves on this." No. It's not what they said at all. They just went silent all of a sudden. Didn't say anything. This gets back to, again, the end justifies the means with these people. I've been saying all along, something before November 8th, Election Day, these people are so desperate for power, and the end justifies the means. They don't care by what means they accomplish things. Here's another little tidbit I'll just throw in, which happens to be, I was going to throw this in with the whole Google thing. I think it was the Arizona law. I believe it was in Arizona. One of the states that just enacted a new legal process for mail-in balloting, mail-in voting. The process involves, if you request a mail-in ballot, you have to validate your identity and your address before they will send you a ballot. 250,000 ballots were sent out without validation. Oh, it was an accident. Oops, oopsie, whoopsie. Well, we'll just make sure we set all those aside and we'll validate them after the election. How convenient. So, this one's a Democrat. We'll validate that one. This one's a Republican. Oh, that one's not valid. If they can sort through 250,000 ballots, or if you just got them hanging out there somewhere in the breeze. Who knows where these ballots even went, whether they went to, they just happened to print up 250,000 of them, came up with some phony addresses, and they all went out to those addresses. It's a different kind of scheme involving ballot harvesting. I would not be surprised at all, because the end justifies the means. And how is it that that just happens to be, just happens accidentally like that? Oh, well, it's too late now. How about the person who did it be brought up on criminal charges for interfering with an election? Election tampering. Fixing, rigging, whatever you want to call it. Well, it was just a mistake. Oh. No, the mistake was, you know, we have to set these examples for people, right? Maybe people won't make so many mistakes. Maybe they'll be a little more careful next time. If somebody ends up in jail. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Just a thought. Just an idea. Funny how that stuff always happens, isn't it? It's not funny at all. We are seeing our nation ripped out from underneath us. All of the pinnings that we have in this country, that things were founded on, the successes that we have, they're using up. Mark Levin on Sunday night, last night, went through a scathing report at the beginning of how the left views everything that basically our nation is about. And it's what it boils down to in the very end is they hate this country. They hate what it was founded on. They have to radically change it. And they are using all the rights that they've been given by the founders to destroy the founders. Isn't that ironic? We have these freedoms and liberties, and they're protected. But you're not protected from how we're going to change them. And again, I always ask the question, where is this leading? Where will we be in 20 years? How is this going to look? And can we turn it around without an actual revolution of sorts? I believe we are in a civil war right now. It is an ideological civil war. One of traditional, foundational principles. Those of the individual, not the collective, not special rights for special groups, but every person having rights. As JFK would say, I'm quoting a Democrat. Let me look it up here so I actually say it the proper way. The rights of every man are diminished. The rights of every man and woman, every person, are diminished when the rights of one man, when one person, man or woman, whatever you want, are threatened. The rights of every person are diminished when the rights of one person are threatened. We've come a long way from that. They threaten the rights of, well, there's a channel called Mr. Reagan, and he today was asking, it was a very controversial show. I mean, this show, I'm surprised he was not banned initially. I wouldn't be surprised if his show was taken down this morning. I happened to listen to it right after it came out, and I wouldn't be surprised if by now it's even been censored, eliminated, because of some of the things he was saying. But he went into an extremely good explanation, and I think it made sensible. It was a sensible reality. It was a sensible argument. There's a fellow who was banned from YouTube because he was he's an intellectual thinker, very, very good. Had a British accent or something, or maybe it was possibly a New Zealand or Australian accent. It's very, very proper. Anyway, he was, you sound more intelligent when you do that for some reason. I see people doing that because they sound more intelligent. You know, I don't know. I think they do. I don't know. Supposedly, it makes you sound more intelligent. The interesting thing about this was there's a book called The Bell Curve, very controversial. And I won't even get into what it's about right now, but it has to do with race and intelligence and those kinds of things. And the studies done in regard to this kind of thing is whether or not certain things are genetic. Now, we can't even have this discussion because it becomes this racism topic. Racism, in my opinion, if we're studying the genre of the lineage of people, that's one thing. If we're using that to diminish people, to think that there's a lower class of society, that's racism. To think that someone is, because of a certain thing, genetically, you know, I believe that African-American, you know, people of color, certain people of color, have a higher tendency to have certain physical ailments in older age, especially. You can look at, and some of that is culture. Some of it's diet, whatever it is. It's their diet. Because in their culture, they eat a lot of whatever kind of food, and that creates it could potentially create these other issues that they have. And so there's a higher incidence of whatever, of XYZ in this particular culture because of the way they eat their food. The Mediterranean diet, for example, has nothing to do with being Mediterranean or Semitic or whatever it is you are. And it's because of the diet, the culture, the way they eat. The kinds of food that they eat are more healthy, or in some cases less healthy. So they have certain issues other people don't, or they have certain attributes other people don't, because of the way they were culturally raised with that diet. Or is it genetic? Or does it become genetic as their gene pool changes because of the diet that they eat for 1,000 years? These are the kinds of questions we can't even ask. Because if you say something like that, it implies something to them. You can't be objective about it at all. Because you are canceled for even asking the question. There's one race, folks. It's the human race. And we all need each other and need to help each other. Am I genetically predisposed to certain types of activity? Possibly. It's known along family lines that cancer may run in your family or heart disease may run in your family. So, is that genetic? Is it racist? My family comes from European descent. So is that racist to say that my descent, I'm more likely to be this way because of my European ancestors? Now, when it gets into emotional or, dare I say, societal behaviors, whether it be violence or prone to certain things like that. But there are people, there are cultures, and there are also people along family lines that, you know, there are people who have adopted children and raised them from a tiny baby. And as they grow up, they find out that that individual has certain traits that are much more like their biological parents than the people who raised them. So is there something genetic going on with that? One has to ask the objective question, because we're not doing anybody any good by simply saying, you're racist, or you're whatever, xenophobic, whatever it is. How do we even begin to work on the problem if we can't identify the problem? But I digress, because the show has gone on for way too long, and now I'm delving into areas that are probably more dangerous. Not that that has ever stopped me before, because my mouth just keeps flapping. I flap my way right into dangerous territory all the time. And then I just try to bail, which is what I'm going to do right now. The bumper music's coming in. Can't talk about this anymore. I have to go. I did not even get into my backup cup. I was talking so much today, so much this morning, that my chai, I didn't have time to drink my chai. It's actually cooled off, and it's got very little left in my cup, but I didn't make it to my backup cup, which is kind of disappointing, because I really like the backup cup. By the way, I didn't mention this, but I was holding off to the end because I knew everybody wanted to know. My backup cup is apple cider and V8 Fusion, peach mango. Folks, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, our elections coming up. Have a great week. God bless.